Amen. As we are standing, we can go to the word of the Lord tonight. The book of Judges, the sixth chapter, Judges 6, and we start reading verse 11. The word of the Lord says, "And there came an angel of the Lord, sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Amen. I want to talk to you tonight from this title, Going as Gideon. Going as Gideon. Why don't you shake a few hands as you're seated this evening? Amen. Gideon is no stranger to us, and he is one of the first big names, obviously, besides, you know, the great forefathers, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Moses and Joshua. But Gideon comes out of the shadows, and we see God using him in a mighty way to help deliver the nation of Israel from the Midianites. And we're going to dive into looking at Gideon and his life, and ultimately to mimic and try to follow to be the best examples that he set for us to do, that follow after, that we can do that as well. And the first thing we got to realize is that Gideon was just another person, right? He's just another man, another human like anybody else, and he had his excuses, he had his inadequacies that he held on to and he hid behind. But we seem to forget those little details, those little pieces of humanity that resonate with all of us. And we tend to focus a lot on the big, mighty things that God did through him, and not just him, but anybody else that is mentioned in the Bible. But we first have to realize that if God can use somebody like them, he can use you to do something great. He can use me to do something great. If we all have these imperfections and shortcomings that we know we have ourselves and we possess, and many times we can hide behind those things to use them as an excuse of why we can't do something. But God sees beyond those things, and he's drawing us and reaching for us to go beyond those things and to see what he has in store for us. And so we'll get into that with Gideon tonight and the next few weeks to embark and understand how God can use just one person to deliver somebody from the hand of the Midianites. And he has a mission for Gideon, and he has a mission for each and every one of us. We too can be called to be a Gideon in our neighborhood, right? We may have the same fears that Gideon had, but if we can learn to overcome those things, we can be as a Gideon and go as a Gideon where the Lord is calling us. And as we are going to embark on that, we first begin to assess the environment that which Gideon grew up in the world that he lived in at that time. And we can see how it was a very rough time for Israel. Now, in Gideon's response to the angel of, Lord, where are you? Why did you abandon us? And it kind of jumps out at me because many times we kind of just immediately blame God for something, right? And ultimately, we as we get into this, we're going to realize that it's not God who forsook Israel. It's Israel forsook God. But yet somehow in our stubborn humanity, we just think that we haven't done anything wrong, but it's that God has done something. But in reality, if we learn to really examine ourselves and look at our situations, we soon will find out that we are the ones that messed something up. That we are the ones that departed from the Lord and went on an old different way. And therefore, we find ourselves captive to Midianites or whoever, whatever you want to place in there. But Israel at this time was going through some hardships. Judges 6:6 says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." And so this it begins as a dark period in Israel's early history. The nation, it was in distress. It was being oppressed by their enemies, the Midianites. The people lived in fear. They were afraid. They were not free, even though they were their own nation. But you can be as free as you want, but if you are fearful of some other nation that comes around, you're not really free. You are bound by something. And this is how Israel was. This backdrop, this setting, was not unique for Gideon and his time. Because we see through the history of Israel that they had been in this valley before. They had been in these similar circumstances before because, again, they forsake God and then they find themselves being overrun and being oppressed by the nation enemies around them. And what happens is they cry out to the Lord and then the Lord saves them and they start living right for a while. And then time goes on, and then they forget about the Lord, and then they slip back into the ways, and then the cycle repeats itself. And Gideon is in the low point here of the nation of Israel. And so throughout history, and even today, societies follow the same cyclical patterns. There's good years in societies and bad years in societies, and whether you want to make that as financial blessings or moral good times and bad times. Everything goes ups and downs. We all experience turmoil, whether it's economic hardships or social problems in the society, spiritual decline and spiritual revival. All of these things happen all the time, year after year. Civilization after civilization. And so we see that this is sadly, it's a normal thing with humans. We get in a rut, in a good rut, and things are going well. And then we lose course and get in a bad rut, and things go bad. And then we find we need to correct our course and say, man, I don't want to do that anymore. And if we can only learn to stay on the right path all the time, right? Things might be a little bit better. But humanity has been like this, and we see Israel is no different in this period. And so Gideon's time was this time of oppression where they are being overrun by the Midianites. And so after Joshua passed away, they inherited the promised land, and they get to experience the blessings of the Lord, the land flowing with milk and honey. But as you probably know and I know, as much as we want and we pray for times of blessing and prosperity, what happens a lot of times is God gets lost in all the blessings, right? There's so much abundance going on that we soon forget about God. We forget about the reason behind all of this. And God is kind of off to the side. And then things start to decline. And then we find out and we ask God, where did you go? In reality, we are the ones that left. And so examining the climate, the backdrop of Israel, we see here in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. There you go. Introductory verse, sentence right there. Already sets the scene. We know why things are happening. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So not only did they actually have land that they possessed and homes that they inherited in the promised land, but when the Midianites started coming, the Bible says that they were so afraid of them and being tormented and oppressed by them so much that they also made vacation homes. Their vacation home was in a mountain to hide away from the Midianites. So it really wasn't necessarily a vacation, but it was a retreat where they would go leave behind their homes, and they would go retreat to the caves and the hills and the strongholds because they were afraid of what was happening when the Midianites showed up. In verse 3, so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And so then they encamped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. That is really a depressing thing. If you're going to think about them, you're toiling for months, you're sowing, you're planting, you're doing all these things, you're watering, you're working hard, breaking your back to grow plants and vegetables and crops and taking care of the animals. And then when it's time, finally harvest time shows up, it seems like the whole region knows it's harvest time. And they all come and raid the place and they take everything you've done. They take all your hard work. They take all your crops. They even take the ground and take the roots from all the plants and stuff. And they are literally left with nothing, left with no animals, nothing, no fruit, no vegetables, no harvest at all. Literally all of your hard work, sweat, and toil is literally just taken away from you. And that is such a depressing thing to think about. And so you can imagine why they were not in a good place mentally, spiritually, and it's simply because we are told that in the beginning they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and so God handed them over to their enemies. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and then the children cried unto the Lord. And so you can't help but to be impoverished when somebody comes and takes all you have. You're literally poor. You have nothing left. And so they began to cry out unto the Lord as any of us would. And I just can't imagine. The Bible says that the Lord gave them over to the Midianites for 7 years. I can't imagine this going beyond 3 months of dealing with this. The first harvest, right, when they came in and take everything, that would have set me off. But I couldn't imagine another 6.5 years of going to do with that. I would have maybe just fought and just died in the field, and that would have been it, right? And leave that for somebody else. But here they did that for 7 years. And so we see what is happening with their oppression. They're economically being devastated, loss of crops and livestock. They are fearful of their lives, of their security. They have no future. They're running and hiding. They're leaving their homes and going to caves and hiding out until the Midianites take everything that they have. And they are fearful. They're insecure. They have no possessions. They're lost everything. And on top of all of that, and really the underlying reason is they are spiritually in decline. They've backslid from the Lord. And so there is a trifecta of things working against the people of God. And this paints a bad picture for them, because how low can you go? How dark can it be when all of these things, you're backslid from the Lord, you're afraid for your future, your lives, you have nothing, no possessions. you really are at your bottom, the very bottom. And that is where Israel is at this moment when Gideon is interrupted by an angel. And he obviously expresses his frustration. God, where are you? Where are you in all this? Why is all this happening? And we obviously know because they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. So this is a perfect example where they cry out, they hit their rock bottom, and then they cry out to the Lord, and God hears their cries, and he begins to do a work in their lives. Aren't you thankful that God hears your cry no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how deep you are, no matter how stuck you are in a situation? Many times, God has never left us. He's just waiting for us to cry out for help, right? And in our stubbornness and in our pridefulness, that we are the ones who finally admit to crying out to the Lord at our last lifeline, because God is not going to interrupt our life if we don't want him to interrupt our life. And so many times, as I personally have experienced, I'm sure you have as well, that it's not until we hit absolute rock bottom do we really start truly wanting to change. And sadly, it shouldn't have to come to that point, but again, we are humans, and humans, we are, that's the way we are sometimes. And so here we see Israel hitting their rock bottom, and they're just done with it. They're overwhelmed, and they're just finally crying out to the Lord, and the Lord hears their cries. It's the same story as well in Egypt. They finally cried out to the Lord after they hit their rock bottom, and God began to do a work and deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And any time people finally turn to the Lord is when God's going to finally do something in their life. And I'm thankful that he answers the call. He hears our cry, and he can help deliver us. No matter how big of a mess you and I have gotten in, God can make his way into our life and bring us out of that and set our feet on the right path, because he loves us and he doesn't want us to see us suffer. And there, time and time again, Israel is going through this, and we see Gideon is going to be used as the man from God to help deliver the nation of Israel. And so if that was the setting for the great deliverance or the great revival for Israel's day and Gideon's day, the world today can mirror a lot of those things as well. There is so much economic uncertainty out there today. It's been there for years, and prices are inflated, and it's hard to live and paying for all of these things. There's economic uncertainty. There's political instability going back and forth. There's fear and mongering, and people are afraid. They're uncertain about their future, what is going on out there. And so this also is a good climate for God to do something in somebody's life, right? They just got to be ready and ripe to cry out to the Lord. And if the people of Israel cried out in these times, I believe that there are people nowadays in 2025 that are reaching the lowest point of their life, that they're going to be crying out to the Lord and say, I need something changed in my life. I need to turn to Jesus. I'm tired of all this. I don't know where else to go, but I'm going to try Jesus. I see an advertisement for a Jesus tent revival. Hey, I'm going to just go ahead and do that because I have no other choice, and I'm going to show up, and I believe that God's going to use this timing for his purpose, that there are hungry people out there. There are hurting people out there. That they have nowhere else to turn, but hey, a Jesus tent revival, I believe that they're going to find what they really need in their life, and that is Jesus Christ to come in their situation. And so we, too, are living in a similar world, if you will, where Gideon and the nation of Israel lived as well. We see this happening a lot of times when, again, when the economy goes down and things get harder, that people become detached from the materialistic world, and they realize that all of that is not the answer, because it can easily be taken away by circumstances. And it's through these hardships that people really begin to start turning back to the Lord. And we can name the financial crises that and economic depressions that we personally have lived through, and may have been a hard time for us or you. And we know in those times when you're really pinching pennies that you really begin to trust in God even the more so, right? You begin to count in on the Lord and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I got to believe in you and to trust in you in these times. People get desperate when they run out of things, and they know that God is faithful and just, and he's always going to be there. And we need to turn to him as people are going to be turning to him, just like they did in Gideon's day, where they began to cry out to the Lord, and God heard their prayers. And I believe God's hearing people's prayers right now, right? He's hearing their cries, not just our cries and our prayers, but the sinners out there that are reaching their end. And he's going to be drawing them in by his Spirit in this end-time revival period. I believe that the culture and the world and the atmosphere is prime and ready for a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit, because people are at their ends. And they need something real and genuine. They don't need another performance or show or entertainment. They need a real encounter with Jesus Christ. And that is what you and I, we are preparing for, that we can introduce them to Jesus and he can help change their life. So we know that one of the main reasons that Israel was suffering at this time is because they rejected the Lord. They rejected his commandments. They disregarded his laws, and so they became spiritually dead and a moral decline in their society. And so they began to turn away from righteousness and embrace sin and unrighteousness. And therefore, violence increases and all kinds of stuff happens, because when sin abounds, it's just free reign, and it's, you and I know, it's a mess. And so that is another factor of the condition of the world that Gideon was living in, because they obviously were not turning to the Lord. They turned away to serve Baal and all those other idols of those times. And so today we also, our society as well, has turned from God, has embraced ungodliness, embraced sin, embraced homosexual and transgender lifestyles, all of these things that are so evil and an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, that our society is embracing those things. You can't tell me that the world is ripe for a good revival, right? A good outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because they are spiritually dry, a moral decay. Depravity is at its highest, it seems. And so we have our own idols today, money and fame and power and pleasure, all of these things that people chase after, leaving themselves spiritually empty and spiritually hungry, because they're trying to fill themselves with all kinds of other stuff. And really, we know the only answer is Jesus that can change their life around. And so if Gideon's time was ready, those conditions are mentioned and spoken about, how they were living and they were in desperate need for God. We can look around today and we can see similar people, similar situations. And so we know that the harvest is ripe. There's plenty of people out there that are hungry for the Lord, that need the Lord. And so we have to get together and allow God to use us, just like he used Gideon, used one person to save the country of Israel. And he can use us to save our neighborhood, to save our city, to save Southwest Florida. And God is not a respecter of persons. He just needs somebody that is willing and able to say, okay, Lord, I want to be used like a Gideon, God. Use me, raise me up, whatever it is. God just needs somebody that is makes themselves available. And I believe that that's what we are doing here these 40 days. We're getting away of all the distractions. Say, God, I'm getting ready to be used by you. Use me in a mighty way so that I can reach somebody and draw them to you. And so the children of Israel cried out to God, and God heard their prayers, and he began to do a work in their situation as he went and visited Gideon that day. And so when faced with hard times, times of crisis and times of economic uncertainty, all of these things, our first response, and we know this as believers, our first response should be running to the Lord right away. He shouldn't be our last resort, but he should be our first resort, right? And we know that God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'm going to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen. I believe that promise is still true today. It doesn't matter how far we are. If we humble ourselves and begin to pray and begin to seek the face of God and turn towards him, amen, we'll hear from heaven. Amen. And God will do a mighty work. And not just in us, but anybody that turns to the Lord, right? Any sinner that humbles themselves and begins to seek the face of God. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. And so it doesn't matter who you are or in church or not. As soon as people start humbling themselves and turning to God, then God really begins to do a mighty work in their situation, in their lives. And I believe that we are on the brink, on the precipice of seeing those things. But obviously God has to be first, and that makes things a lot easier. So we see that God, part of his plan to deliver the nation of Israel is to use this one man named Gideon. And the angel appears unto him. It says unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's amazing to see how the greeting is towards Gideon. He calls him the mighty man of valor. And we know that Gideon doesn't believe this. He doesn't believe he's a mighty man of valor. He's like, are you talking to the right guy? Right? Mighty man of valor. I'm over here hiding behind the trees and because I don't want the Midianites to see what I'm doing. And they're calling me a mighty man of valor. It's a beautiful thing because we see that God just looks right past our vulnerabilities, right? We see all these imperfections. We see how we are not worthy. We see how we don't add up, how many mistakes that we've made. We see that we're nowhere near a mighty man of valor. But God sees something far beyond our surface mistakes, right? He sees something great inside each and every one of us. And that's what we need to listen to, is the voice of God and what he calls us, not what we call ourselves, right? Not what we bring to the attention and we may see in the mirror and say, you know, what a horrible mistake you've made, and how we can easily talk ourselves down and excuse ourselves from being ever used by God. But God doesn't see those things. He sees over and above them, thankfully, through his grace and mercy. And he calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. God sees the potential in every single one of us. And I know he wants to use us in a mighty way to do something great, but we just have to believe just for a little bit that God God can do that in us, right? That God can reach me to teach somebody the Bible study. That God can use you to bring somebody to the Lord, right? Even if you've never taught a Bible study before, God's not concerned about that. He just wants somebody to sit down at the table and to begin to open up the Word of God and let God begin to move in that room, right? All God wants somebody to do is to arrange a meeting, right? Get the meeting together and let God show up, and God can do something great. But we can easily throw up excuses why we can't do something. And Gideon's not alone. The Bible's full of examples of great men that gave excuses. The funniest one is Moses, who says, "I can't go talk, I stutter." And God's like, who made your mouth? And who do you think I am? But we see that Moses, maybe he was afraid in the beginning, shy, or not confident in the beginning. But by the end of his ministry, man, he let everybody have it, didn't he? And see what happens when you just let God use you. You'll overcome those imperfections, those insecurities, because God knows that he can do anything through you if you allow him to do that. And so God sees more in us than we see in ourselves. And that's what we need to remind ourselves. Even though we may not be able to see a lot, we see our faults, we have to realize and tell ourselves that God sees more in me than I see in myself. And if I just let God use me, who knows what God can do through me. And fear is not going to define us. Our uncertainties are not going to define us. But what defines us is God calling us to his kingdom. God has a calling for each and every one of us, and that is his calling supersedes all of our fears, all of our worries, all of our doubts. If we hold on to what his calling is in our life, he will take us above and beyond those things in our situation. And musicians, if you would join me, and even in distressful times, economic uncertainties, all of these things, we must trust that God is in control above it all, right? Because if he has a plan and he has a purpose for us in these last days, if we are to become like a Gideon and to do great things for the Lord in these last hours, then God is in control and nothing's going to be able to stop his will. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church because God is in control, and we need to make sure that we stand and follow after him, what he wants to do in our life. If you stand with me tonight. So the first step that we see, really, if we're going to go as a Gideon, is Gideon first deals with things that are in his home. Before he goes out and is known for the great battle, Gideon and his 300 and fighting all these great things. And we may look and aspire to those great public displays of God's majesty and God's power. Before we ever get out there, we first have to deal and overcome the battles that are in our home and in our life. Everybody wants to be David killing Goliath. But before David ever met Goliath, he had to deal with a bear and a lion by himself at his home. And if we are going to become overcomers like Gideon, we have to deal with anything that is in our home first. And he went and he tore down his father's altar to Baal in the night. And that began really the first journey of his ministry and God using that. If you can't take care of the things in your home, how are you going to be able to help deliver somebody else? And so Gideon had to face his own fears, his own insecurities. And he had to deal with the problems at his home first before he can help deliver anyone else from the hands of the Midianites. And so we must courageously stand for truth first and foremost in our life and in our homes, and fight for the kingdom of God, fight the good fight of faith, and stand in a world that opposes truth. We have to be willing to say, no, I'm going to stand for truth. Even if nobody else is watching or nobody else is looking, we still have to stand for righteousness. And so in these times, I believe that the environment is ripe and ready for a mighty harvest in these last days. And God is calling all of us to do something great for Him and His kingdom. It doesn't matter if you've never done anything for the Lord before. I believe He's calling all of us in these last days, a great mighty revival, that we're going to do something great for the Lord. That God's going to use us mightily to reach people. And we'll be as a Gideon to go forth and help deliver people. But we first have to get ourselves in order, right? We first have to get our house in order and tear down those altars of Baal, proverbially, in our life. Any situations or hardships or weights or sins or things that we are dealing with, we have to overcome those. And then God's going to use us to step out and do great and mighty things. I believe that this is just the beginning of the end of a great mighty harvest. And we're going to go forth as Gideons, reaching the lost, praying for people, baptizing them, watching God do many miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because we know our God is able, and He's got a great and mighty plan in these last days. I want to be involved, right? I want to be a Gideon. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And He has a plan for every single one of us, and we get together and bind together in Jesus' name. We're going to see a great thing happen. Amen? Let's worship the Lord. Let's begin to rejoice and thank Him for what He's getting ready to do in us and through us in these final days of the Lord.
Darkness. in the streets. Oh, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
I shout Jesus for my family, and I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Let's sing that one more time. Declare that together.
I shout Jesus from the mountains.
I shout Jesus in.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to shout the name Jesus. Hallelujah, the name that is above every name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. We have so much things that God wants to do for us and through us. I'm excited, man, to see all that come to pass. Every single one of us, God's going to use us in a mighty way, right? I believe that. Amen. We go forth and be a Gideon in our life, in our neighborhood, and we'll see great things come to pass. Amen. God bless you all. Dismiss in Jesus' name. Remember, tomorrow night, prayer here begins at 7 o'clock. God bless.